told us we have in the very beginning of our parsha by Yisrotzitzu Habanim Bikirbo that Rivka is pregnant and she has these two children that are seemingly making her a lot of confusion. Rashi says Kishahaisa Overis al Pisre Hatorosh al Shem Ve'ever, when she passes the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, Yaakov Ratzim Afarches Latzes. Yaakov was trying to get out, whatever that means. And whenever she passed by a Beis Avodah Zarah, it says Esav was trying to get out. And Rivka is very confused. She doesn't understand what kind of child she is carrying. Vatomer, and her response to this confusion is, Imkein lama ze anochi, what exactly am I carrying? What exactly is happening? And what does she do? Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem. Rashi explains, what does it mean that she goes to ask God what's going on? Rashi says, Lebeis midrasho shel shem. She goes to the yeshiva of Shem ve'ever, lidrosh es Hashem, sheyagid la matahe besofa, that she goes to present the question to the Rosh Yeshiva, to the head of the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver, and she figures that by discussing this with him, she'll gain some kind of clarity into what's going on. And this has always been the Jewish tradition. Whenever a Jew seems to be in a situation where they are confused, whenever a Jew needs clarity or guidance on a issue that is troubling them, we have always gone to seek counsel by our Talmidei Chachamim. And that is always what the Torah is trying to teach us here by the story of Rivka, is that Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem, that they have the clarity from all the Torah that they've learned. They have a clarity of vision and a clarity of understanding, which is why she went specifically to them to ask for their advice. Now, it is important to note that the Pasuk says, you'll say, maybe that was only in a generation when they had such geniuses that were living, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so then we would go ask their guidance, seek their counsel. But now that we don't have people like that, why would I bother to go ask a shaila to my rabbi? What's the point of that? So the Pasuk says, Uvasa el ha-kohen ve'el ha-shofet asher yihiyah bayamim ahem. The Torah says, whenever a person has a dispute, whenever a person has a public community issue, it says, they should go to the shofet asher yihiyah bayamim ahem. They should go to whatever judge is alive in their day. Ask the Gemara, do you think you would go to somebody who's not alive? What do you mean asher yihiyah bayamim ahem? I'm not going to go to someone's grave and ask them a question. Who's going to send me the answer? So what the Medrash says is, it means, even if you have somebody who's not on the level of the great leaders that you used to remember from generations prior, Asher Yihyah Bayamim Ahem, God makes sure that every generation is going to be blessed with leaders who are appropriate and befitting to that particular generation. And therefore, even though you might remember many years ago that there was somebody who was far greater, and everybody would agree that they were far greater than the leaders of today, that's not a reason why we should hold ourselves back from taking consult, from asking questions of our Talmidei Chachamim who are alive today, because the Ribbono Shel Olam puts Talmidei Chachamim in every generation, and He gives them the wisdom, He gives them the Siyata Deshmaya, to be able to process the questions of their community. The Medrash says, a famous comment as well, Al Tomar, don't say, Ilu Haya Rabbi Kiva Kayam, if only Rabbi Kiva was still alive, I remember the good old days, Hayisi Yosef Vishona Lefanav. If Rav Soloveitchik was still alive, then I would ask a shaila, because I remember he was such a genius, but since he's not alive anymore, so I have no one to ask questions to, so now forget it, I'll just do whatever I want. That's not the appropriate response, that's not the way we live, and therefore the Medrash says, even if you do remember the glorious old days when you had a great, illuminating, illustrious figure in your life that really was able to provide you the answers that you were happy with, it does not mean that as generations go on, you should not find a new person to discuss things with. And the Sefer HaChinuch writes, on that pasuk, Al pi ha-Torah asher yarucha, it says that you have to follow whatever it is that the psak of the leader is. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, obviously, the simple understanding of the pasuk is talking about when the Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim makes a psak, so we as laymen don't have a right to challenge their psak. We're not on a level of wisdom, of knowledge as they are, and therefore we have to follow what they say. However, he says, what about in our generation when we don't have a Beis Din HaGadol? So what relevance does this mitzvah have? We don't have the great sages, the great assembly in Yerushalayim. So what does the Torah mean? Va'asisa kechol asher yarucha. So he says the answer is that it means even today. Uvichlal mitzvah zeh lishma v'lasos b'chol zman uzman k'mitzvahs ha-shofet. Even today, when there's a psak that's given, we have an obligation as laymen to follow that psak. Kolomar ha-chacham ha-gadol asher yiyah beinenu uvizmanenu. Whoever it is that's considered to be the leaders of our time, that's an important thing that we go out of our way to make sure to listen to their advice and to listen to their psak, to listen to whatever conclusion they come to on a specific issue, and not to say that because he's not on the level of somebody who came before, therefore we are not going to accept it. One very interesting caveat to point out here is an article that one of my friends, Rabbi Isaac Rice, sent to me recently about Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein wrote something about Das Torah. Das Torah has always been a very highly debated issue in many communities, and I think Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein said it the best. He said, Das Torah is very nice, and you want to accept that and say that you should ask the Rav everything in your life, and you should consult with him about even personal matters that might not have any bearing on halacha, that might be fine. But he said, don't forget that the person that you ask doesn't just have to have Torah, he has to have Das also. When you talk about Das Torah, you need both components. You need, number one, that he should have common sense and seichel. And number two, you have to make sure he also is a Talmud Chacham. If you have the Talmud Chacham without the Das, it doesn't help. If you have the Das without the Talmud Chacham, that also would not be beneficial, that would not be helpful. So Rabbi Lichtenstein, it's a very beautiful article that he writes, explaining what in his position he thinks one has to make sure to find a Rav who they're comfortable with, to find the local person who they think is someone who can really guide them. But he says one needs to make sure before choosing so that you have a person who is, number one, a person of Das, a person of intellect, a person of understanding, a person of caring and sensitivity, and number two, a person of Torah as well. So let's talk about briefly how not to ask a Shaila. What I mean by that is the Gemara speaks about an all too common phenomenon, and that is people who go rabbi shopping. So I have a Shaila, and I want to get the answer that I'm looking for, so I'll shop around until I find somebody who's going to give me the answer. And today, it's even easier than it ever was before. You can just send the question on the internet to whoever it is that might answer you, and at some point, you're going to come up with the answer that you were looking for. So the Gemara actually addresses this issue, and the Gemara talks about shopping for a psak. Is that something that's appropriate, or perhaps not? Says the Gemara, Meseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Zayin, Tana Rabbanan, Hanishal Lechacham V'timei. What if I go, I have a Shaila in Hilchas Kashrus, and I'm not sure what the halacha is. Hanisha lachacham etimei, I ask the Talmud Chacham, and he says that it's tamei. Lo yisha lachacham itar. If the Chacham says, no, I think this pot of soup is treif, you're not allowed to go bring it to another person down the block and say, oh, let me re-ask the Shaila once again. Once the first Talmud Chacham that you asked said it's not permissible, you have to follow his guidance and you have to dispose of it, and you don't have a right to go later to someone else and get a psak that's going to be in your favor. If you have a Chacham that's asked a Shaila in Hilchos Nida, for example, says the Gemara, you don't have a right to go to another Talmud Chacham later and ask for another Psak. So I remember a couple of years ago, Rabbi Kenny Alman from Flatbush told me a very amusing story. He said that when he was younger, not when he was younger, he is married to a woman, his first wife, who he's still married to. He's married to a woman who's from Montreal, and he said when they were younger as a couple, they used to go visit her parents all the time in Montreal, and he said he didn't have any friends there, he didn't really know the community, so whenever he used to go, his wife wanted to make him happy, so she would set him up to learn with Rabbi Hirschsprung, who was the Gadol in Montreal, he was one of the Gadolei Hador, and he said he loved it. Whenever he went to visit his in-laws, he had this added benefit, he used to be able to sit and learn with Rabbi Hirschsprung. So Rabbi Hirschsprung was known to be a tremendous genius. He was able to do the pin test. He can open a book on any page and point to any line, and he knew exactly what word it was, second word on the line, third word on the line. He was an amazing personality. So he said that one time he was learning with Rabbi Hirschsprung, and he relayed the following story. He said that the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum, came to Montreal for something, and he said that it's only respectful of him to go and visit Rabbi Hirschsprung. He was the Rav of the city, so he goes to visit him. And he said that Rabbi Hirschsprung told him the following story. He told the Satmar Rebbe that he had problems. He said the Satmar Rebbe was a very, I don't know, negative person, but he was a big machmir. He was very serious about certain things. And Rabbi Hirschsprung wasn't so fond of his contemporary who had this kind of perspective on many of the issues that came up in the Jewish community. So he said to him, did you ever hear the story about the Balabas in Europe who went to the rabbi to ask a Shaila in Hilchas Basar B'Chalav? He said, no, I never heard. So he said, well, this guy was a shochet, and he went to shech the chicken, and then he saw that there was a big shaila about the shechita. He didn't know what to do, so he brought the chicken to the rabbi, and he asked the rabbi, what do you think? Is the chicken kosher or not? So the rabbi says, give me a minute. I've never dealt with this shaila. I've never looked into it. Just give me a minute. He takes out his shulchan aruch. He starts flipping through the pages, and he finds whatever page it was there. He finds the psak that he was looking for, and he tells him, I'm sorry to tell you, your chicken is treif. The shechita wasn't valid. The shechita wasn't good. You're going to have to dispose of the chicken. The Balabas takes the rabbi, he grabs him by his jacket, by his lapels, and he says, aha, I caught you, I know why you said it's treif. He said, why is it treif? He said, I saw what page you opened up to when you looked up the Shaila. He said, what page did I open up to? He says, you opened up to Hilchas Treifus. If you would have opened up to the page that said Hilchas Kashrus, it would have been fine. So Rabbi Hirschsprung said this to the Satmar Rebbe, and he said, Once in a while, if you would open the book that says Hilchos Kashrus, maybe the world wouldn't be as bad as you think it is. Once in a while, you have to open that book too. So, we have some Rabbanim who always have a perspective. They're trying to be makel as much as they can, make life as easy as possible. Other Rabbanim have a perspective, always trying to make life as difficult as possible, always with a chumrah. Different kinds of people. But, says the Gemara, once you've asked the shayla of one, you don't have a right to go turn around and go ask the other one. Because the Gemara says that would be seemingly inappropriate. And Tosas there on the Gemara challenges this psak, and he says, why? Wouldn't it make sense if you go to the second rabbi, maybe the second rabbi will think of a possibility that the first one didn't. Maybe it'll help clarify the question a little bit more. So why shouldn't I be able to go back to a second person to have a second opinion on a question that came out against my favor? Why is that inappropriate? So Tosas says a whole bunch of guidelines, which we don't have time to mention all of them today, but one of them that he says is the following. He says, if you go to a rabbi, and he says that it is usser, and the rabbi says it's not permissible, you cannot then go to someone else who's going to say that it's mutter. That's not allowed. Tosa says that's not allowed. Why not? So he says, because that's what the Gemara says, chacham shetime, ein chaveiro rashoi letar. If a chacham already said it's not allowed, you're not allowed to go to someone else who's going to say that it's permissible. Unless, says the Tosa, unless the second rabbi can prove that the first one was a Toa Bidvar Mishnah. Unless he can prove that the first rabbi was so irresponsible, was so reckless, he forgot a Gemara that he should have known, that everybody knows. He forgot a Psak and Shulchan Aruch that was so obvious, he should have looked there, and he made a mistake as a result of his lack of knowledge. So in a case like that, we say, then of course, you're not bound by the first Psak. If the second one can prove that the first one was wrong, so that's not something that you're going to be bound by. So the truth is, everybody makes mistakes. Just yesterday, I was called with a shayla in Hilchos Mezuzah. I made a complete mistake. I had no idea what I was talking about. And I called the guy back 10 minutes later. I said, I just looked it up again. And I see that I made a mistake. And you shouldn't follow what I said the first time. Everybody makes mistakes. And that's life. That's the way it goes. However, I think it's important to note that let's say, for example, some of the most brilliant and knowledgeable Talmidei Chachamim sometimes make mistakes as well. So in the Tshuvas Binyamin Zev, he's one of the early Achronim, one of the Tshuvas from a long time ago. The Rama has quotations from him every so often. So he writes, Al Yitame HaRoa, Al Masha Ta'isi B'din Zeh. He once gave a psak to someone, and then he writes a Tshuva retracting the psak that he gave. So he says, someone's going to ask, they should defrock me, they should disqualify me from being a rabbi. How did I give a psak, and then the next day I wrote a Tshuva that it was a mistake? He says, that shouldn't be a question. Dekamak Shishi Minei Hedyo Tov V'Achaka Chodu. Many people who are far greater than I am have made mistakes and have later on owned up to the mistake and have said publicly, I made a mistake and I don't want you to follow the psak that I gave. Who's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu himself? What are we told? Vayishma Moshe Vayita Be'enav. We're told by Moshe Rabbeinu that somebody pointed out to him that he made a mistake, and Rashi says, Ho Develo Bush. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't embarrassed to get up and say that he made a mistake or he didn't give the proper psak. Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that that's what one has to do whenever they make a mistake. And in fact, the Gemara says on a number of occasions that Rava got up in public and he said, Dvarim she'amarti lecha, to same biyadi. The shir that I gave yesterday was a mistake and you shouldn't follow the psak that I gave. And whatever was said was on a false pretense. It wasn't really something that was meant as a psak because I didn't have the full information. I didn't properly really give the psak on whatever issue it was that we were discussing. I know my father said many times, Rav Soloveitchik and Shir used to give a whole beautiful interpretation in whatever sugya was learning, and he would come back the next day and say, you know, I thought about it more, and everything I said yesterday is wrong. Let's start over from the beginning. And he had no problem. That's part of the greatness of a person, that they have no problem getting up and saying publicly that they made a mistake. I know that my father's students are always enamored by the fact that there's nothing that we hear my father say more then I don't know. When he gets up publicly and people ask him questions, and when he doesn't know, he's honest, and he says, I just don't know. And that's the mark of greatness, that a person has the ability to say, I've made a mistake, and I don't know, and I have to reconsider, and I have to think about it some more, and not to be so flippant with an answer whenever somebody comes and presents a question. In fact, the great Chassam Sofer, with this we'll close, we're running out of time, he has an incredible comment. The Chassam Sofer says, somebody once asked him, why is it that every time you're posed with a shayla, if you've ever looked in the Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, you'll see he has answers to every kind of question, and he gives such long interpretations. He gives all the sugyas, all the sources. Somebody asked him, why do you go through all the trouble to present all of the sugya and to say from the beginning till the end, why don't you just give the answer? Say usser, say mutter. Why do you have to go so far out of your way to prove why it is that you think this is the case? Writes the Chassam Sofer, the reason why I do that is because I want you to know why it is that I'm giving the psak that I give. In order that, should you review everything that I think is the reason behind the psak and you find me to be mistaken, I would like and I would hope that you come back to me and you say, I think you made a mistake. And the Chasam Sofer says, it is therefore that I go out of my way to spend extra time to explain to everybody why it is that I arrived at the conclusion that I did, in order to make sure that I'm being totally intellectually honest and giving everybody the opportunity to find my flaws, should they ever find it. Now, it just so happens to be, he ends off the paragraph by saying, by the way, it only happened to me twice in my life that of all the tshuvas that I wrote, I made a mistake. It only happened twice, so I have a pretty good record, he says. And he points out the two times that people sent him letters back that he made a mistake in whatever it was, the formulation of an answer that he gave. But he says it's important that a Talmud Chacham always has to have that ability to say, I am not a person who is infallible. I'm not a person who can ever make a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. And therefore, he says, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu made mistakes and he was not embarrassed to admit to his mistakes, so too over here. So, based on that, I guess we'll continue tomorrow. We didn't finish this whole thought. Based on that, Tosis writes, if the second Talmud Chacham will be able to prove that the first one was a Tal B'Dvar Mishnah, that he made a mistake, he said this is treif and really it's kosher because he didn't realize what the Shulchan Aruch says about this kind of case. If it's a situation like that, certainly we should not follow the first psak that was given, but that's only in a situation where he's able to prove beyond a doubt that the first one really was a Tal B'Dvar Mishnah, that he made a careless mistake by not researching the issue properly enough before rendering the psak that was given.